Since the gods are associated so closely with cities, one especially moving type of literature is the lament for a city when it has suffered destruction or invasion. The suffering of individuals is also recorded in several poems. The poems that describe a lament for a city often go into great detail about how a city is completely removed or its walls are taken down, and you get the impression from the lament that the entire population has been killed and the city taken down. As I said, this makes for a very moving poem, but it is almost always an exaggeration. We don't find very often any archaeological correspondence for this level of destruction. But the interest in describing the details of the distress of the occupants shows how devastating it could be when an enemy did attack a city. It is customary to frame the lament in terms of the abandonment of the city by its patron deity. And you might recall that we talked about this very early on in the course, that if a city is associated specifically with a god or a goddess, and it suffers some destruction or threat, then that would seem to indicate that the god or goddess could not really protect the city very effectively. And so the idea occurred that a city could only be attacked or fall when its patron deity abandoned it. The details of destruction inflicted on cities are provided. Temples are defaced and robbed of their cult statues. City gates are destroyed. The city itself can be described as being burned or even flooded with its own irrigation canals. So once again, we see the importance of the irrigation canals. They can be turned as a weapon against its own inhabitants. A lament for the city of Ur describes the catastrophe that occurred at the end of the Ur III dynasty, when the city was made into ruins. Its people, not potsherds, filled its sides. In all its streets where they used to promenade, dead bodies were lying about. In the palaces where festivities of the land took place, the people lay in heaps. In the city, the wife was abandoned, the son was abandoned, the possessions were scattered about. In this lament, the patron deity of Ur sees the damage and weeps for the city, but she was unable to prevent its destruction because it had been destined by the gods. So this is the only way that a patron deity would leave a city, is if the gods had decreed that the city must be destroyed, often because the ruler was impious or simply because it was time for the kingship in that city to end. Moving from the suffering of a city to the suffering of an individual, we have a number of poems that show how Mesopotamian citizens tried to deal with the problems of human pain, sickness, and poverty. These afflictions are inescapable if they are decreed by the gods, just as the destruction of a city cannot be prevented. A Babylonian dialogue between a suffering man and a friend presents the difficult question of why the gods punish the righteous. The sufferer wallows in poverty. He tells his friend, "My energies have turned feeble. My prosperity is at a standstill. Beer, the sustenance of mankind, is far from being enough. Have I withheld my offerings? I've prayed to my God." The poor man sees the wealthy man ignoring the gods, but prospering. He says, "Those who seek not after a god can go the road of favor. A fool is ahead of me. Rogues are in the ascendant. I am demoted." The friend suggests that humans cannot understand the intentions of the gods, and that it is possible for the gods to change fortune even within the course of a year. He tells his suffering friend, "Your logic is perverse. You have cast off justice. You have scorned divine design. In your emotional state, you have an urge to disregard divine ordinances. The strategy of a god is as remote as innermost heaven. The command of a goddess cannot be drawn out.